This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome back to Respect the Dead. I'm Kellen Conrad.
I'm Hoots.
And today we're doing an episode. It's exciting, right?
Ooh.
Something fresh and new.
I love those.
We probably have like an intro or something that'll come in like right about now.
Sweaty. We have a tagline.
Oh, we don't. It's a podcast and we don't.
We did it.
Welcome back to Respect the Dead, the podcast where we don't.
Sweaty. It's no surprise that everybody celebrated your demise. And now worms are eating your eyes. So don't you worry your rotten head as you sleep in your sodden bed. It's time to respect the dead. It's time to respect. Dead.
It's been so long, like 2 weeks or something.
That's like 3 years in high people time.
Oh no, like literally. I have seen universes burn. Everyone I know has died.
I love that high people are like living out their lives in dog years.
Oh. Okay, so let's jump into this little one. Mm-hmm. So we're in Italy, which we love.
I love Italy.
I'm like, I'm super Italian for a pasta.
I'm super Italian for a sunflower, for wine.
Yes.
For men with lots of chest hair.
And like a gold chain. Oof. Oh, nasty. I love it. I'm so Italian for a nasty man.
Nasty chest hair. I love a gold chain ripping the hairs out of his chest.
Oh yeah, with like there's like a bunch of hair, like scraggly hairs
stuck in the links.
So hot. It is a statement necklace, but it didn't start that way. He lets me borrow it sometimes. Like
it smells like him.
Brush it out.
Brushing it out.
Okay, anyway, so we're in Italy. The year is 1571, which is like 1,000 years ago.
So long ago.
And a dude named Michelangelo Merisi di Caravaggio.
Oh my God, I've heard of
which
him.
Which is a gorgeous name. He's just slithered out of his mom's womb. And the area that he lives is like embroiled in a war. It's like the Ottomans versus the Christians. Things are like, there's like a huge battle going on. Things are not great. And it's like also 1571. So everybody's like filled with disease. Everybody's super diseased.
And there's like no YouTube.
No.
No Netflix.
Not even like a steam powered YouTube.
Yeah, no.
I don't even know if they had books.
So we're like bored when we're not suffering.
Yeah.
Like bored is like the best you can hope for.
Imagine being bored and suffering. Like
that's a mental feat.
Well, I think it would just be the new norm.
Yeah. Like the way everything starts to hurt the older you get.
Yeah.
Like your body just always has like a constant ache.
I'm like, maybe I don't need to imagine being bored and suffering. No, wait, I do. I'm usually so high that I'm never actually bored. So his early family deets are a little bit sketch, but his pops, Fermo Merisi, was the go-to steward and architect for the Marquis of Caravaggio. When he was six, the bubonic plague, like, they had a little party at the house, and it wiped out, like, most of his family, including his
dad. That's my least favorite plague.
I know. It's so gross.
Like, favorite, though? Locusts.
Yeah, frogs for me.
Oh.
Like, that's so cute. That's tough. Locusts are annoying.
Yeah, like, locusts are annoying. Frogs are adorable.
And frogs would eat the locusts. Like, if you had frogs everywhere, yeah, there would be no mosquitoes fucking with you.
You're right. Frogs is the best.
Yeah.
Like, bubonic plague, however, is not.
No, is not even in a top three. Biographer Andrew Graham Dixon wrote in Caravaggio, A Life Sacred and Profane, that he was practically hardwired to break the rules. He can't resist it. The moment he gets a nod rebel from authority. Yeah, but he's like one of those petulant ones who's like, oh, you like what I'm doing? Well, I guess I'm going to do something else then. Like, it was just like, it was so petty. Quote, he's practically hardwired to break the rules. It's like he can't resist it. The moment he gets a nod from authority, a thumbs up from the Pope, a welcome from the Knights of Malta, he's compelled to mess things up. It's his fatal flaw. So, like, he would try and be like a little rebel. And then people were like, oh my God, great job. And he's like, no.
No.
You can't talk to me like that. I'm not your son. You're not my dad. Poor little, I'm a bad boy.
I love, like, getting, like, rebelling and getting a little tattoo. And then your mom is like, oh, honey, that's really cute. It's really pretty. And being like, no, well, now I'm going to go get it lasered off.
I'm going to get a bigger, scarier, uglier one of your nasty face. How about that? She's like, oh my God, that's so sweet.
getting an entire back piece of your mom.
To piss her off. At the age of 11, Caravaggio made his way to Milan, where he kicked off his artistic journey under the wing of painter Simone Pirozzano. By his late teens, probably around 1588, they couldn't like go back and check his like Facebook posts to see like for sure.
Because he deleted his account.
Yeah.
He did not like to switch to Meta.
So he's poor as shit, and he's like, I'm going to try my luck in Rome. There, in a bid to keep the hunger pangs at bay, he took on gigs assisting fellow painters, many of whom didn't quite match up to his skill level. Like, he's been painting. That's the only thing he does. Oh, it's the only thing he's good at. And he's, like, good.
Right.
Like, scary, but good. I'll send you some in a second. So he's an artist, and he acts like one. He doesn't want a real job. He does not want to work. Like, and relatable. He's like, yeah, no, I just want to make my like silly little content. Yeah. So he like hops from one job to another, but like he can't fuck with authority. So he's constantly being like told to get the fuck out. Cause he's like, no, I can't come into work for the next 2 weeks. I'm painting.
Yeah.
Around 1595, he decides to take the solo route and stop like helping out other painters and began peddling his paintings through a dealer. And immediately, like, people were like, oh,
this my God,
is
you're
good.
Actually good.
Yeah, who the fuck is this? Oh! And he caught the eye of Cardinal Francesco Del Monte. Impressed by his work, the Cardinal not only became a fan, but also hooked him up with like a cushy setup, a place to crash, meals, and a steady income. An original patron of the arts.
Yeah.
Yeah. These days, it's even easier to become a patron. You just go to patreon.com/respectthedead and sign up to support all that we do.
And with that, at our topmost tier, you can pay our rent and all of our food so that we can make art.
Yeah, you're welcome. We're going to do that just for you.
That's the Francesco tier.
That's Francesco's promise. Caravaggio was known to work super quickly. Like, he would start a painting and finish it in like 2 weeks. But his paintings are fucking masterpieces.
Yeah.
And by the time he had come under the influence of Del Monte, he already had like 40 gorgeous paintings to his name. Now, I'm going to send you some, and you tell me if you notice a little bit of a disturbing trend. A theme.
He likes a certain type of boy.
Young. One might say maybe not necessarily post-pubes. Definitely mid-pubes.
I mean, the first one you sent me is experiencing twink death. Like, that is a hard-looking twink.
So one of the things that he does is he makes everyone look a little bit like him.
I love that. I stand narcissistic queen.
I'm going to send you a photo of him.
A photo?
I'm sorry. A photo of a portrait of him. Because they did take a photo of it. That's how they got it onto the computer. Not me, like, pulling up his name. And the first... The first result being molester, question mark.
Oh no, spoilers. Don't tell me.
So if you look at this photo, you'll see that their eyebrows are almost like identical to his. That
deep set they eyes. Have
the same deep set eyes. Yeah.
The same shape, like the round lips.
Yeah.
They're like, they're plump, but they're narrow. So it's very, yeah. It's very kissy lips.
So if you're listening audio only, his work featured, like, it was sort of like cherubs, but without the, like a hard cherub, like a cherub who's seen some shit. Like, maybe a cherub that, like, fell out of heaven and got lost or something and has, like, been living on Earth for a couple of years. Many of the boys in his paintings, which I will not be sending because I will not be putting this up on YouTube, are naked or loosely clothed. Caravaggio's only known assistant was a boy named Checco, who appears in a number of his works and who may have also been his lover.
How old was Checco?
Like 13. And Caravaggio was 24. So people are saying lover.
Caravaggio.
But I don't love that term. I don't know why I said it. I'm like so scared of getting libeled. I'm like, he is dust. Like, no, he cannot sue me. The corpse can't hurt you, Kaylin.
But the Italians are going to come for you for this one.
Come for me. Oh my God. Could you bring me like a nice red sauce when you come to murder me?
Yeah.
An Italian has to give you a final meal.
Yeah.
It's part of their religion.
Otherwise, they're not Italian.
Pastism.
Wait, no, I think that was a real thing. Wasn't that a joke religion? Pastafarianism?
Oh, yeah, because of the flying spaghetti monster or something.
God, that was so cringe.
I was about to say.
Atheists are so embarrassing.
I love being part of every group that's super annoying. Like atheist, vegan, person who makes being gay their entire personality.
So annoying. Oh, also, by the way, like, I think I need to say this publicly. I am an atheist. But I made like one joke in a video one time at the expense of atheists. And let me tell you, the comments that I continue to get to this day, like, everybody calm down. Calm down. I don't believe in Sky Daddy or whatever the hell you want to call him. I just think that.
That's so cringe.
You know, sometimes so cringe. It's so cringe. I just think that the community should maybe think about things before we say them because we're really fucking annoying.
I do love a little bit of optics on this one.
Yeah.
Because we're not a marginalized group. And I think just like annoying people maybe do need to tone police themselves a little bit.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So in 1597, Caravaggio scored a prestigious gig, the commission to adorn the Contrelli Chapel in the Church of San Luigi De Francesi. This significant and challenging assignment tasked the 26-year-old painter with crafting three expansive paintings, each illustrating distinct from the life of Saint Matthew. So, like, saints were normally painted in a way that made them seem inhuman, like almost deities themselves. But I just sent you a photo. He is made to just look like a dude. Just like a...
Yeah.
Just a guy. And the paintings
a
are very
dude
like...
being guided
dark.
By angels. Yeah, yeah, they are.
And like the shading is... Like, look at those arms. Like, yeah. How am I looking at like a 500-year-old painting and being like, hey, arms.
Especially around the elbow, actually. Like the joint.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well painted.
He's very talented. Like, there's a reason people... And like, sometimes I look at old paintings and people are like, it's a work of art. And I'm like, it's a work of shit. Looks bad, man. Like, looks bad. Like,
my 5-year-old could draw that.
Yeah. The fruits of Caravaggio's labor emerged in the form of 3 pieces: St. Matthew, the Angel, the Calling of St. Matthew, and the Martyrdom of St. Matthew. And they're all like this kind of vibe.
Right.
They're completed in 1601 and they're showcased as like, that's his magnum opus at the time. Like,
right.
He was commissioned to make them. They were a big deal. People were coming to see them. Like, he's doing well. But they stirred up quite a fuss among the church and the general public because it wasn't like a regular saintly portrayal and people felt that right. It was like blasphemous. Like,
disrespectful.
Back then, people saw this and they're like, are you showing a saint's fucking gorgeous little feet? Like, for
are you
free?
Showing his bald head?
Yeah. Like, no halo, yeah. Nothing to show him as anything other than just some dude.
And you gotta like, put portraying... that behind a paywall.
Yeah. I'm adding St. Michael's feet to celebfeet.com tonight. His initial rendition of St. Matthew and the Angel caused so much distress, that's the one I sent you, among his patrons, that they made him do it again, like do a second one.
No.
Yeah.
Did they make him put shoes on him?
No. It would have been really like a nice like pair of Reeboks. I think he just panned
actually,
up.
That looks so cute. Okay, they just panned up. They just cropped.
Yeah. But he actually took it as like a challenge. Like, okay, yeah, I can do that, whatever.
So recreate
like,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. It allowed him to elevate traditional religious imagery and infuse it with his distinctive style. So he was like sort of trying to figure out like his niche, you know, like he wanted to be like, okay, what can I do that's still me, but that like people aren't going to like behead me over or whatever.
Right.
But he, I don't know. I don't think he could do it. Like he kept needing to like push the boundaries. Like his biblical scenes would be, because he wasn't being commissioned, he would be like, well, I'll just do whatever I want then. He didn't want to take sponsors.
Right. I do love the way, like, it's very Catholic Church, how he's, like, pushing boundaries with paintings and they're getting mad about, like, you know, him painting some guy's feet, but they're fine with him fucking a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah, of course. Just
Catholic Church. It's just...
Just Catholic
you know,
things.
Some things change. Just Catholic things. Some things change and some things stay the same.
So his biblical scenes now teemed with the presence of sex workers, beggars, and thieves that he would encounter on the streets of Rome.
That's dope.
Yeah, I know. The Contrelli Chapel Commission not only brought some financial relief, but also catapulted him into the limelight, opening up a floodgate of exposure and a bunch of more projects coming in. His artistic output in the following years encompassed... He's very Christian, like the crucifixion of St. Peter, conversion of St. Paul, deposition of Christ, and the renowned death of the Virgin, which is like, I'm going to send to you right now and is legitimately fucking dope. They were also mad about this. He must have had a foot thing because Mary's little toesies are in
little
this one.
Feet. Yeah, they're hanging out.
You were not supposed to be able dope. To like see upskirt pregnant Mary. Almost all of his success was controversial like this. Like, he just couldn't fucking stop himself. I love it, though. If he had Twitter, he would have been canceled, like, multiple times. There would have been so many, like, threads.
God, that's so great.
With screenshots of his tweets and his work.
Of his work. Screenshots of his paintings. Just like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. I made that.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, almost all of his success was tumultuous, but like because he was
that breeds so, more success though, like,
yeah.
You know, no publicity is bad publicity until the Catholic Church burns you at the stake or something.
Yeah, which, like, you know, It happens.
But then your paintings are so much more valuable because you can't make any more.
Yeah, but like not to you. Yeah. Like I feel like people are like, oh yeah, paintings, like your art is worth so much more when you're dead. And I'm like, but I can't sell it. I don't profit. I don't get that money. So I don't care. So he has a lot of mood swings. Basically, what would happen was he would lock himself away for like 2 weeks, do a painting, and then come out like pissed and drunk, like looking for a fight. And like be like, okay, time to go like drink and gamble, and then harass somebody on the street at like 3 a.m. Frequent brawls, like just like walking up to someone and like punching them in the face or whatever. One of which led to him serving a just a cute, brief little stint in priz in 1603 after he, like, punched the fuck out of another painter.
Whomst among us hasn't had to sleep it off in the drunk tank after punching another artist in the face? Sometimes it's sort of artists like drama content.
Yeah. Caravaggio's life was a whirlwind of legal troubles and turbulent relationship, from getting nabbed for toting a sword without a permit to facing a lawsuit for beating a man with a stick that he like found on the street. He just like picked up a branch and started like whipping
stuff. That rocks. Also, I can't believe they had sword licenses back then. They literally controlled weapons tighter than they do in the US today.
I don't know if there was like a background check for them, but you definitely, you couldn't just like run around with one. Mm. Between 2 and 3 a.m. is almost always when these fights happened.
So he was drunk.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
It's the witching hour. Like,
yeah, it's not his fault.
He would go to the pub, he'd get fucked up, and then he'd go try to fuck someone else up.
With a stick that he found.
It's all like, it is all very Italian.
Oh, 100%. I'm so Italian for beating men with a stick.
Truly. Especially on their pretty little feet.
It's better not awaken anything in me.
It's better not awaken anything in me.
During this chaotic period, Caravaggio found himself entangled in a stormy rivalry with Giovanni Baglione.
Ooh,
I love all these names.
Such an Italian name.
I know. He was a fellow painter who once accused him of plotting his assassination, which, like, I believe he would have.
Yeah.
In 1603, Baglione took Caravaggio to court for libel. Amused by the lackluster reception of a Baglione altarpiece, Caravaggio expressed his delight by composing satirical poems about his work and circulating copies in the artist quarter.
That's so extra.
I know.
he wrote bars about him and then passed them around.
Yeah. Yeah. So, to like all his friends.
Would you like my bars? Read some of this. Oh, I said something really cunty right here.
Oh, he did. Hold on. I have a little excerpt for you. In the lens of modern sensibilities, this may seem like just being like mischievous, but not criminal. But like the poems were like news back then. Like that, that is like that today would be the same as like tweeting out something about someone. Here's an excerpt. Wipe your arse with them or stuff them up the cunt of his wife because he isn't fucking her anymore with his donkey cock. And like, number one, tell me more about this donkey cock.
That's so much.
It's really aggressive.
Yeah, it's so aggressive.
And like, I don't know that it's a poem either.
Shove it up your wife's cunt? Like, oh my God. I think we all need to like simmer down a little bit.
Yeah, let's let's not involve people's wives.
Yeah, like what did she do?
What did she ever do to anyone? Not surprisingly, him and his wife were not charmed by these poems, and he was taken to court for libel. I don't even know what part of that is libel. It's like, my cock is actually teeny tiny. Yeah, this is a lie.
Well, they used to like to paint people with tiny cocks, so maybe you're onto something. Maybe that was the libelous part. Like, he was like, excuse me, I do not have a massive penis.
God gave me a humble peen. So he got 2 weeks in jail for this.
I wonder if Baglione had to like pull out his chode in court to prove his case.
Like, God.
See, Your Honor. Like, see?
Being the stenographer would be so hilarious.
My knuckles are the balls.
These two nucks. So he keeps getting in trouble. He faced charges for flinging a plate of artichokes at a waiter who displeased him.
That's rude.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. You couldn't find some like nobleman to throw artichokes at. Mm-mm. Carrying unauthorized weaponry again and breaking a window shutter in his rented room. Like, it's just like, it's some of it's just like petty little crimes.
Yeah. This is why they won't give you a sword license.
Yeah.
You do stuff like this. Like,
yeah. Like, babe.
Like, behave yourself.
You're not being discriminated against. Like, I'm not going to give you a, I'm not going to give you a sword when you keep beating random people with stuff you find on the road. Like, I know what you do with it. He also went to prison for hurling stones at a policeman as they walked by.
Well, that's based.
Yeah. Hilarious. Just like drunk sitting there and they're like, what are you doing? And he's like, throwing rocks at you, pig.
That fucking rocks.
Then also jail for cursing at an officer and also for causing offense to a woman and her daughter. I'm sure he said something like really fucking nasty to them as they were walking.
Yeah, he was
by.
Like, here, I got this rock. Shove it up your cunt.
They were like, no, thank you, sir. But like in Italian.
Yeah.
By late 1605, his landlady had enough and took all his furniture out because he hadn't paid rent for 6 months and was like, there, sleep on the floor, you animal. And in like a drunken stupor, realizing his life was falling apart, he accidentally wounded himself one night because he fell on his own sword.
Oh, you dumb bitch.
Again, another good reason. Okay, this is really
making sense.
like one of the main reasons people shouldn't have guns is because they don't handle them properly. Yeah. And it's like, clearly it's the same with swords.
Yeah.
According to one observer, so this is his like routine. After a fortnight's work, he'll swagger about for a month or two with a sword at his side and a servant trailing him, just like fighting anyone he sees. Like, like, okay, I've been cooped up for 2 weeks. I did the thing. Like, I got my video out.
He's
now
so
let's
aggro.
Go get crazy. The culmination of his violent tendencies occurred in 1606 when he attacked Renuccio Tommasoni, a Roman who would these days be referred to on Law and Order as like a pimp.
Oh.
He killed
cute.
A pimp.
That's also okay.
Yeah, I feel like this is fine.
Yeah.
She's not shedding any tears.
I don't feel bad for the pimp. Yeah.
I also don't feel bad for anyone that died like 500 years ago.
You would have died eventually anyway.
You'd still be dead now. So like, that's not my problem.
Yeah. But yeah, if he was like a madam, maybe, you know, like he just like managed a workers' co-op or whatever, I think I'd be less. I'd be more sympathetic. But
yeah, same.
I don't care if he kills the boss man.
So nobody's like 100% sure why he killed him. Some people say it was about an unpaid debt. Some people are like, oh, he beat him at tennis and he was mad. More recent theories are that he was into his wife and he was not happy. Like Caravaggio was into the guy he killed's wife.
Was
and the
Caravaggio
guy,
into wives?
I think he was like a bicon.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. A little bisexual energy for the podcast.
I was like, so far, I've only seen evidence that he was into boys and feet.
So he loves boys, he loves feet, and he loves pregnant virgins. So we know all of this for sure. Mm. Immediately after the murder, he peaced the fuck out. He escaped from Rome, went to Naples, Malta, and then Sicily, which like, as like a fugitive tour is like gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Little grand tour of Europe. Like nowadays, they sell packages for that on Trivago.
Yeah. Despite being on the run from the consequences of this crime, he couldn't stop. He just kept like painting. And then people would be like, hey, that looks like a Caravaggio. Wait. Like, why are you so bad at this? Like, he was painting for other people and like doing it under other people's names. And they're like, okay, like, I can tell that it's you. Like, this is very clearly Caravaggio's work.
Babe, just like change up your style a little bit.
Like, I know.
go through a different period, you know, like Picasso had his fucking blue period or whatever. Be like, this is Caravaggio's, I'm going to use lighting period.
Yeah, that like 3 weeks where he put people's eyes in the right place.
Yeah. So good.
They're like, it looks like a Picasso, but it's clearly not. Look at the symmetry on this face. During this period, he presented one of his more startling works, Resurrection, where he depicted a Jesus Christ that was far from the conventional saintly image, looking like sort of like disheveled after resurrecting from the tomb. Like normally he's like glorious. Sleep. Yeah. He normally looks like glorious, like I hath returned.
Yeah.
And this is like, he looks like he just pushed a like 8,000 pound rock out of the way of a cave.
Yeah.
I'm setting it to you right now. Jesus, where are you? I love his little loincloth.
Yeah, I mean, like, body looking good. Face? Yeah. Yeah, like, it is kind of like me when I emerged out of COVID quarantine. The 6 weeks like, when we were doing that.
Like, he is supposed to be perfect. Like, absolute perfection. And he just kind of looks like a dude. Like, he still also doesn't have the, like, I don't even know what they call it. Like, I guess the halo. But, like, the...
He's got a little bit of glow behind. Like, somebody put a light behind him. He's got a little hair glow.
He's backlit.
Yeah, he's backlit.
But, like, a natural backlight. Not, like, God's divine grace.
Yeah.
The portrayal undoubtedly mirrored the turmoil in his life. Because at this point, he was, like... He's fucked. Like, he's haggard. He's poor. He's being chased. Like, he is a fugitive.
Oh, yeah. I bet he had really bad eye bags.
Yeah. And he wasn't, like, sleeping. All reports say he, like, laid in bed with a dagger at his side every night. Like, that's so stressful. Also a bad idea if you've already fallen on a sword. Like... Put it on the end table. Well, he's probably like sleeping on the ground. So maybe he doesn't have
sleeping with my dagger under my pillow and then like slipping my hand under when I'm sleeping. Ow. I forgot I put that there.
The guy that he killed in 1606, not the end of him like just violently assaulting random people because it's kind of his fave. Things that he loves. Feet. Pregnant virgins, little boys, violently assaulting people. This is why he's on the podcast, FYI.
We have to stop this man.
Oh, don't worry.
Good. I forgot what podcast I was on. Happy endings.
This happens to me all the time. In 1608, he assaulted Fra Giovanni Rodomonte Roero, a highly esteemed knight in the Order of St. John in Malta. This altercation led to his arrest and subsequent imprisonment for the assault. But of course, like all messy queers, he escaped from prison like a month later.
Nice. It is very Casanova. Again, it's very Italian.
Yeah. So the dude he assaulted is like, I don't fucking think so. Like, we've had enough of this fucking little creep. So they start hunting him down. Because you also don't like assault a knight. It's like punching a cop and then trying to run. Like, these bitches are going to track you down. This is the first criminal they're going to catch in, like, the last year.
All of his buddies are on the case.
Yeah. So he tracks him down, finds him in Naples, and confronts him outside a tavern. And during the fight, like, fucks up his face bad. Like, including his eyes. So now the paintings get a little, like, less cute.
Is he, like, partially blinded?
Yeah. And, like, not, I don't know, artists are kind of, like, stuck up. Like, he was probably really mad that his beauty had been taken away from him.
Definitely.
And, like, obviously, he's now both killed someone, assaulted a lawman, and escaped from prison. So, things aren't looking great.
He's a fugitive.
Yeah. So, he's like, okay, there's only one person that can save me. The Pope. Because the Pope could give him a pardon. So, informed that efforts were underway by friends to secure this pardon, he escapes again and heads to Rome, sailing from Naples. But during his journey, he gets stopped in Palo when he goes to, like, get supplies. And they're like, we know you. Everybody's looking for you. They sent out, like, I don't know, medieval pigeons or whatever with copies of his face on, like, a wanted poster.
Mm. They were like, those eyebrows look so familiar.
If you've ever seen one of his paintings, you would recognize his eyebrows. Like, so they detained him, but because he's on his way to the Pope and they're looking for a pardon, they're like, okay, well, we can't just, like, we have to let the Pope decide now. Like, he's going there. The Pope's either going to say yes or no. We're not going to, like, be like, actually, I think I know better than the Pope. Because that gets you very dead very quickly.
Mm-hmm. The Pope doesn't like that when you say that. Because
yeah.
His job is, like, knowing the best.
But when he got to the port, Port Ercole, which is where he was, his final destination before getting to the Pope, he got super sick and just died. Died right there before ever being pardoned. Just dropped fucking dead. I don't know what he had, but I'm assuming it was some sort of plague.
Mm. Did they say anything about his symptoms?
Then. No. It could have been scurvy.
Throwing up. Could have been syphilis. Wait, no. That would have taken longer.
Yeah.
Could have been an appendicitis.
Yeah. He was like 30. So it definitely wasn't just like old age.
It was something. Yeah.
Yeah. But nobody was like writing down notes about this. Like, one of the things that I always find, the farther back we go, even if the person is like extensively written about, it's always like, well, we don't know if these are lies made up by their enemies. So, like,
yeah,
take it with a grain of salt regardless. Oh my God. I believe that though. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, if somebody were to like Google me, they would probably find a lot of lies told by my enemies now.
So in like 2324, when they're talking about the most famous podcasters to ever have lived, they'll be like, well, this is how we think they probably died.
It's like I'm not gonna die on camera. Like,
yeah,
if I get sick, like very sick, I'm live streaming that just in case I die, so all of my friends can use the footage and capitalize on it.
I'm gonna, instead of going to the hospital, I'm going to die like a cat. I'm just going to go like curl up under the couch.
Die like a maid.
Wait for someone to find me.
Curl up under a table and die.
Yeah.
So post his being super dead, and in today's, the way people look back at him today is like,
yeah, in today's great woke painter, society, say what you want to say.
Molester.
like it Joe is Joe Biden's woke America.
In Joe Biden's woke America, you can't even like a painter who is like probably a child rapist anymore.
Yeah.
In 2010, Rome hosted an exhibition commemorating the 400th anniversary of his death, drawing in over 580,000 visitors, which is like insane.
Jesus, like, Christ.
580,000 people went there to see tiny little boy dick.
I thought you were going to say 580, and I was like, that's a lot. And then you kept, the word kept going.
580,000. That's insane. 580,000 people were like, who wants to see naked little boys?
I want to see these little paintings by a rapist.
I only like art that makes me sick.
Same.
Blah. Blah. Anyways, I'm Kaylin Conrad. You can find me on Twitter at Kaylin Conrad. It's still called Twitter, by the way. And my main YouTube channel where I do video essays, drag corpses of hilariously bad movies. And yeah, subscribe now.
And I'm Hoots. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on x.com at Punished Hoots. And you can find me on YouTube at Hoots YouTube.
If you want to suggest someone else for us to cover, you can do that on our Patreon. You get access to our suggestion cemetery, where you can submit a name, as well as A Key to the Morgue, where we debrief after every episode in our autopsy report minisodes. If you're watching on YouTube, where we now have full episodes that are all video, you can see our gorgeous little faces. Don't forget to hit subscribe and turn on the bell so you get notified every week when there's a new episode. And if you're on like a podcast app, give us like one of those sweet minimum 5 stars. If you can find a way to do more, that would be amazing. Okay, bye, everyone.
Bye.
That's a normal thing that we do, right?